Over the last 6 weeks, we've been looking at a subject of worship. And we had a look at what is worship. We had a look what worship is. And we came to the conclusion that every single person worships in some way or other. They may not worship God, or they may not worship the God that we worship, but they worship in some way or other. Some people worship their idols. Some people worship, and I mean statues, I mean their idols in the sports fields and those places. Some people worship statues, which are idols. Other people worship different motor cars. Other people worship different gods. And then, of course, as a Christian, we worship the one true God. So we had a look at what worship was. But then we also had a look at who should we worship. And we came to the conclusion that we as Christians worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You cannot worship one without the other. It's almost like love and marriage. Remember the love and marriage song? Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Now that's the same with us as Christians. You cannot worship God, the Father only. You cannot worship God, the Son only. And you cannot worship God, the Holy Spirit only. Many people do those type of things in different churches, but we as a Christian church believe that you have to worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three have to be worshipped. We then went on to have a look at when should we worship? Should we worship on a Sunday? Should we worship on a Saturday? Because after all, Saturday is the Sabbath. Which day should we worship? And we came to the conclusion that as believers, we should worship every single day. Every day we worship the Lord. We then had a look at where should we worship? Should we worship in the church? Should we worship up on the mountain? Should we worship in different places? And we saw that there are different people that have different ideas about where they should worship. And many people say, oh, you can't sing secular songs in the church. That's a temple. And we came to the conclusion that the temple of God is you and me, not individually only. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, but not only individually. We had a good look at the scriptures and we saw that the temple of God is the body of Christ, the believers. All of you sitting here today are the temple of God. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So therefore, we came to the realization that although as individuals we are the temple of God, but as a group, as a collective group, we are the temple of God. And therefore, we should not neglect the gathering together of ourselves. And therefore, we should get together as a corporate body to worship God, because that is all part of worship, and we are the temple of God. As an individual, I can worship God by myself. But when we get together as the body of Christ, we are the temple of God, and therefore we worship when we get together. Then last week, of course, we had a look at various other things as well, but last week we had a look at how should we worship? How should we worship? Excuse me. Now, many people would say, well, why so much emphasis on worship? Why have a 7-part series on worship? And as we have seen, that unless we know what worship is all about, we can be led astray to worship false gods in a false worship. And that's the reason why we emphasize worship. Because there are many people that get together and they worship in a certain way and everybody says, oh, wasn't that great? Meantime, they don't even know who they are worshiping. We came to the conclusion last week as well that when we sing our songs, we don't just repeat them over and over and over and over again like a mantra, because what happens is you go into a state of euphoria and you tend to forget what is being taught and what is being said. So we see that our worship should be a daily worship. Every single day we should worship. And therefore, I've entitled my message today, A Living Worship. A Living Worship. Now, last week when we spoke on how we should worship, you will remember, those of you that were here, we said that Christian worship is different from Eastern worship. Eastern worship tells you to empty your minds. Whereas Christian worship, or the God of the Bible, tells us that we are to fill our minds and meditate upon these things. We are to fill our minds and meditate upon these things. And we need to understand that when we empty our minds, we can go into a state where we don't know what we are saying. And I want to touch on something here very important this morning. And please understand, when I say what I'm saying this morning, I'm not accusing anybody or pointing fingers at anybody or saying anything bad about anybody. But last week, for those of you who were here, you'll remember that the majority of my message was scripture reading. I spoke very little from a personal point of view. I only used scripture reading. And I used 1 Corinthians 14, I used Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. And we went through it step by step through the scriptures. And we emphasized the scriptures and that what the word of God says is important, not what I say. Yes, there were a few things that I said. For one of the things that I said is, you must not empty your mind. Because when you empty your mind, you can allow all kinds of spirits to come into your mind. I also said that these people that fall down on their back and kick their legs up in the air and laugh in the spirit are worshiping a false god. And somebody who was here last week afterwards decided to say, you people don't have the spirit. And I don't believe a word that the pastor said. Now don't get angry about it. You should actually rejoice about it. Because it is, once again, reiterating what I've been saying for many, many years, that the people are worshiping a false spirit. I don't want the spirit in this church. I want the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Almighty God in this church, not the spirit. What spirit is it? Especially when I read out of the scriptures, and the Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead you into all truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. When somebody says, I don't believe a word that the pastor said, and all the pastor did was read out of the Bible, well, what spirit are they talking about? I don't want that spirit. And therefore, I hope you understand that. I'm not attacking that person. I'm actually very upset that she has been deceived. But you need to be careful of what's going out in the Christian world. There are things that are going on in the Christian world that are so Eastern philosophized. They are telling you, leave your mind at the door. You must only come into the church with your heart, because God only wants you to worship Him from the heart. Do you understand what happens when you empty your mind? When you empty your mind, Jesus used the analogy that there was a demon in the person's mind. And he swept the mind clean, the house clean. And then the demon came back and he said, oh, this is nice and clean now. Let me bring 7 more demons in, even worse. And therefore, we need to be careful. I'm not saying don't go to another church. I've stood up front here so many times and said, if you want to go to another church and go listen to what they have to say, go there. By all means, because I believe that the truth always rises to the top and that you'll come back to the truth. If you really believe in the Lord and you are really honest and you're really truthful with the Lord, you will come back to hear the word of God in the right way. Now, I'm not saying that we are the only church that has the word. There are many churches that have the word. Please don't misunderstand me and misquote me. But what I am saying is, you need to test the spirits. You need to make sure that the things that they are being said there, the things that are happening in those churches, are true. That lady came to us by accident. She wanted to go to another church just down the road, where they do these things, they speak in tongues and do all kinds of things. And if she wants to go there, I've got nothing against her. I will give them the right hand of fellowship anytime she wants it. But how dare they attack us and say, you don't have the spirit. If that's the spirit, I don't want it. I want the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God says, thy word is truth. Therefore, having said that this morning, let's get on to our message for this morning. A living worship. A living worship. And we're going to take, and once again today, I'm going to be concentrating on the Word of God. Because I believe that the Word of God is there for us to use, and the Word of God opens up everything for us. Yes, I can stand up here and I can preach and I can say lovely things and that, but I believe that God's Holy Spirit leads you to the truth, and the truth is God's Word. And the first part that I want us to look at is, In a living worship, is pleasing God. I'm breaking the talk up into two sections today. We're going to speak about pleasing God and praising God. If you want to worship God, if you want to have a living worship, you need to please God. Now, how do we please God? How do you and I please God? How do we please our parents? When we were young, of course, what did we do? We pleased our parents by honoring them. And therefore, we want to please God, and we'll see how we please God. And one of the most important things we do when we please our family or when we please God is making them proud of us. Making them proud of us. Our first reading is going to be taken from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And as I said, we will be going through it a couple of verses at a time and having a look what the Word of God has to say to us about pleasing God. How do we please God? Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are we pleasing God? Are we presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto God? Are we serving Him daily? Are we trusting Him? Are we reaching out to others in love? Are we presenting our bodies a living sacrifice? Or are we allowing our minds to be conformed to this world? Instead of being transformed, we are being conformed to this world. We are becoming like this world. I'm all right, Jack, you look after yourself. Are we becoming like that? If we're going to be pleasing to God, you and I are ambassadors of God. And as ambassadors of God, we are here to do His will. And when we do His will, then it is well pleasing to Him. So we need to understand that we are God's ambassadors. Let's look at verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. That's one of the things that we need to understand and we need to remember. If we are going to please God, we've got to remember that we are members of the body of Christ. When you hurt, I hurt. We've all heard that story before about the nose and the glasses. The nose was sick and tired of having to carry the glasses because, after all, it wasn't the problem. The problem was the eyes. And I'm sick and tired of carrying these glasses. So the nose wriggled itself and the glasses fell off. And of course, the guy walked into the wall, and guess what got hurt first? The nose. That's right. That's why it's so flat, you see. So you understand that we all are members of the body of Christ, but we all have a different function. Just as in your body, every member in your body has a function to play, so you as the member of the body of Christ has a function to play. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Notice those gifts. This is something that's very, very important. Many people don't touch on this. What are the gifts of the body of Christ? Because if you have a look at verse 3, or verse 4, sorry, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. These are the gifts of the body of Christ. These are the gifts that have been given to the church. What? Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving. Who's got the gift of giving? Who's got the gift of giving? That's what we need to ask ourselves. And so what we need to understand is that there are different gifts in the church. The gift of prophecy, what is that? That's the gift of speaking. That's the gift of forthtelling. You see, people get mixed up when they see the word prophecy. They get mixed up and they think, oh, well, that must mean foretelling the future. But when you know the Greek, and when you understand the Greek, there are different words for the word prophecy. In English, we have one word, prophecy. Okay, in the old language. But basically, you have in the Greek word, you have the different ways of saying it. Prophecy could mean to prophesy about the future, foretelling the future. But then you have prophecy, which is forth-telling. In other words, telling people things. It's the preaching. It's the people that stand up front here and speak. Now, not everybody has the gift of speaking. Some people are very shy. Some people are introverts. They don't want to come stand up here. You get them to come stand up here and they say, good day, everybody. And that's what it is. Some of us have the gift of speaking. Others don't have the gift of speaking. Some of us have the gift of singing. Others don't have the gift of singing. And we just have to accept that. But every member of the body has a gift, and they have a reason, or they have a particular gift for a particular purpose. Then we have ministry. You know, some people just have the gift of ministry. If you stay afterwards for a cup of tea, somebody prepares that cup of tea. Somebody carries the plate of goodies around and offers it to people. Some people will pack out the chairs and put out all the chairs. Some people will do different things for different people. It's the gift of ministering. And in the church, we have people like that. Imagine if you had an orchestra and you had a conductor up front. Okay, now the drums have to run. And he runs to the back, bang, gets to the front. Oh, the bugle, run, blows the bugle. It wouldn't work, would it? And that's the same with us as the body of Christ. Everybody has a role to play. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand that everybody has a role to play. Ministering, teaching. We have people that have the gift of teaching. Exhortation. That's a wonderful gift that. You know, you are feeling down. You're feeling bad. Things have gone wrong. And you come to church and somebody walks up to you and says, oh, you look lovely today. And they exhort you. They lift you up. They back you up. That's important. The gift of exhortation. And then, of course, we have the gift of giving. We have people in the church that give. And so we see there are all different gifts that we have. We have the different gifts in the body of Christ. And everybody needs to understand their gift. You know, it's like the young schoolboy who enters a sports carnival. He's a small, skinny little bloke. He's nothing like the other athletes that are around there. He looks like he's a loser. Such a small, skinny, introvert guy. And of course, he decides, well, he's going to take part and see what he's good at. So he gets the discus and he can hardly pick it up. It's too, never mind throw it, he can hardly even pick it up. What about high jump? The bar set above his head, he can't even jump over it. He runs right underneath it. But eventually he gets into the marathon. And he starts running. And all these well-built athletic type of people all just start falling out, and he just keeps on going because he's so light and so thin and so skinny, and he just runs and runs and runs. And he's got the gift of endurance. And his father shouts, that's my boy! Look at my boy go! He was a loser at everything else, but at the marathon, he was fantastic. And that's the same with God. God looks at us and he says, look at that, my servant, my well-deserved servant. They've got the endurance. They have endured. Paul writes, he says, I've run the race. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. We have the gift of endurance. And therefore, we need to understand that not everybody has the same gift. Not everybody can be a babbler. Not everybody can stand up front here and say, oh, well, you know, you've got to listen to this and listen to that. And not everybody can remember every single verse in the Bible. Not everybody can feel that they can stand up and talk. Some people pick the music at home. Some people play the organ. Some people put the chairs out. And that's what makes up the body of Christ. And when we do that, then we are pleasing God. Now the next 10 verses or so are very, very important. I'm not going to say anything about them. I'm going to let the word of God speak to you alone from this now. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. This is God. So how do you please God? If you follow these steps that I'm reading out to you now, you will be pleasing God. Verse 10. Be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If we do that, we will please God. We will please God. But it's not only pleasing God, it's also praising God. And it's not only praising God with the songs that we sing. They were lovely this morning and they were fantastic. And it was good to praise God in that way. But it's not only praising God with the songs we sing, but it's praising God with our lifestyle. The way you and I live our lifestyle is very important. Remember last week I mentioned three things in lifestyle. Well, the third thing was the lifestyle. But I mentioned language, loyalty, and lifestyle. What type of language do we use? When we are in the work environment, what language do we use? Now, as I said last week, it's not only the vulgar language that I'm talking about here or the horrible language I'm talking about. I'm also talking about the negative language. As a Christian, do we portray negativity to everybody? Do we always say, oh, things are so bad, you know, this week this happened and that week that? Or do we praise God and say, yes, it was a terrible week, everything went wrong, but you know what, the Lord was with me, the Lord carried me through, He helped me. I always remember that old poem, and we all know it, about footsteps. And there's a lovely song that one of the ladies on Curtin FM sings, a country, Australian country lady that sings it, Footsteps. If you can ever get that song, get it. It's a fantastic song that she sings about why did you leave me, Lord? And the Lord says, I didn't leave you. When you only see one set of footprints, that's when I carried you. And we need to understand that. But when should we praise God? We should praise God Monday to Monday. We should praise Him in our lifestyle. And the reading that I want to use for this is Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 13. Philippians chapter 4, 4 to 13. I believe that when you go and read these verses again, and especially Ephesians 4 and 5, for those of you who were here last week, you'll read it with a different mindset. You'll read it completely differently now. You'll start to understand what Paul's writing about here. And in Philippians 4, verse 4 to 13, it tells us how to praise the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Do we rejoice in the Lord always? Or do we only rejoice in the Lord when things are going our way, when things are good? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Not just sometimes, but all times. In the good times and in the bad times. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not sometimes, not for only the good things, but in all things, in everything. Give thanks to God. Many people say, you know, oh, but you know, it's so difficult. Well, it is difficult. It's difficult to always rejoice in the Lord. When you can't get around, when you've lost everything you have, it's difficult. But I want to tell you that God cares for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, one of the greatest things that many people say is, we must not grieve the Holy Spirit. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Most Christians don't understand what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now today I'd like us to touch on that before we carry on with our reading. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? And you're going to be surprised at how a person grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, you get into these groups where they stretch your arms to the heavens and they think, oh, you must say certain things, and because you don't want to, they say, oh, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, let's have a look at what the Bible says about grieving the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 once again. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to look at verse 30 to 32. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. And I want you to pay special attention to what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice that. That's another thing that I just want to touch on here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What does it mean to be sealed? It means to be protected. It means to be locked in. So therefore, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are sealed until the day of redemption. You don't have to go every day for a special blessing. You don't have to come to church every Sunday that I can pray for you and that. You are sealed until the day of redemption. Okay, so I'm going to go back there again. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. When we are bitter, when we harbor wrath for one another, when we harbor anger, and we speak evil of other people, that's when you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Not when you don't accept any old spirit coming into your mind. It's when you do those things. And therefore, if you are praising God, you need to show those positive traits, not those negative traits. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That is forgiveness. Now, having said that, I'd like to go back to verse 7 of Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 7. Remember, verse 6 said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we rejoice in the Lord, when we give thanks for everything, when we make our requests known unto God, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will be yours. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Notice once again, Paul's telling us to fill our minds. Those things which you have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Notice he says, and seen in me. Who is Paul? How dare he have that arrogance? How dare Paul say, what you've seen in me? You know, we have some people that are very pious and say, oh no, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Has anybody ever thought about following the Lord Jesus Christ? Following the Lord Jesus Christ's teachings is a different thing. But have you thought about following the Lord Jesus Christ? Going to the cross? Sweating blood? This is what Paul is writing here. He's not saying that he's better than Christ, because actually if you go read those verses, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Not follow me and do what I do, but the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to him a special message, the mystery, to understand how the body of Christ should live. And that's how we should live. And when we live the way that the body of Christ is supposed to live, we are praising God. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learnt, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. A living worship is pleasing God. How do we please God? We saw that in Romans 12. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Operating the gifts that God has given us. Not the getting together as the body of Christ. And then it's praising God. How do we praise God? With our lifestyles. Mary says to you, how's your week been? Been great. The Lord has been good to me. But didn't you go to hospital? Yes, I went to hospital. But the Lord was with me in hospital. The Lord carried me through. He helped me with all my situation. Didn't you say that you have a need of different things? Yes, I do have need. But you know what? The Lord was good. He sent an angel of mercy along to give me a plate of food, and I got a plate of food. We need to learn to praise God in our lifestyles. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And when we get to understand what a living worship is, coming to church on a Sunday is fantastic. But coming to church on a Sunday is not what makes you a Christian. Living a living worship, a living sacrifice, is what makes you a Christian. Let's go out there this week and show the world that God is good. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we've shared together. We pray, Lord, that as we leave here this morning, that these words will stick in our minds, and Lord, that we'll realize that you've called us to be ambassadors of you. And Lord, what is an ambassador but a representative of the person that has called him and sent him? And therefore, Lord, we pray that we will portray these traits that we saw this morning in our lives. Help us to live the victorious Christian life. Lord, you've given us the instruction of how to do it. And when we read those verses, it seems so simple. But yet, Lord, we battle. And therefore, Lord, with the Apostle Paul, we pray. The good that I want to do, Lord, that I don't do. But the bad that I don't want to do, that I do. Who will deliver me from the body of this evil? I thank God through Christ Jesus that I have been delivered. And therefore, Lord, help us to live a life that brings honor and glory to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.